Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All right, look, as we get going here this afternoon, I want to make this very clear. If President Trump would do what he's doing right now, every day, my job would be so much easier because he's taking questions, and we always get very curious. Sue and Fred and I are ready to go here on this Thursday, but don't you think we should kind of find out what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
Will Scharf was standing right next to him. He was signing some executive orders. Now, one of the orders that he just signed was to back off on the Canadian and Mexican tariffs for a month, reducing some of those. We talked to our friend, the farmer in Tarkio the other day, Blake Hurst. He was talking about potash, right? And they get that from Canada. So some of that has been changed already because of the reaction. But here's, I don't know what he's talking about. Here's kind of sample this real quick.
Eliminated. How would you see sort of what department, what agency would handle student loans and the other types of federal
that would
grants?
Be brought in, yeah, that would be brought into either Treasury or Small Business Administration or Commerce. And we've actually had that discussion today. I don't think the education should be handling the loans. That's not their business. I think it'll be brought into small business, maybe. Kelly really liked it and really would like to do it. So the loans would be brought into a group where they really do that. And I think it should be good. That is, by the way, the most complicated thing in moving. But it's very simple if you do that.
And so this is the
same for federal grants. Rejected your plan to move out more than 2 million people out of Gaza. What's your reaction to that and to Egypt's plan and to this meeting that happened?
Out of Gaza?
Yeah.
I think that Gaza's a mess. And I think that Gaza could be good. I think it's got to be run properly. But right now, Gaza is an absolute mess, and it has been for many, many years and decades. Yeah, Peter, did you have one more?
I did, yeah. They have these two Starliner astronauts stuck in space for 8 months. Have you spoken to them?
They left them alone. Biden left them up there.
And what do you know about that?
I know everything about it. I said, we have two astronauts that are stuck in space. I have asked Elon, I said, do me a favor. Can you get him out? He said, yes. He is preparing to go up, I think, in 2 weeks.
What do you know about how this went down? Because he's saying that the Biden White House was offered some kind of SpaceX rocket to go get these guys, and they said no.
That's what I heard. I can't tell you that, but that's what I heard. But Biden was embarrassed by what happened, and he said, leave him up there. I would have said, if you're embarrassed, you got to get him out. Elon is right now preparing a ship to go up and get him.
I'm sure that they will see this in space. What is your message to
us? We love you, and we're coming up to get you, and you shouldn't have been up there so long. The most incompetent president in our history has allowed that to happen to you. But this president won't let it happen. We're going to get them out. We're coming up to get you. I've authorized Elon. I said, can you get them out? Because, you know, they've been left up there. I hope they like each other, but maybe they'll love each other.
All right, so this is live right now in the Oval Office. Will Scharf was standing right there with some executive orders. And, yeah, you know, we're going to find this audio, but I was watching. So I always, and Fred, I don't know if you saw this, but I watch the legacy media. Even when I watch Fox sometimes, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to get, right? Because they have Democrat guests on. In fact, there's been some interesting comments by even Joe Manchin today. But Ethan's going to find this audio. They went to a clip this morning with the astronauts, and the astronaut dude basically said, yeah, Biden left us up here, and Trump's going to come get us. I'm like, wait, because that was one of those things that I thought, well, that can't be true, right? It's not something, I mean, I knew the astronauts were up there, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, it can't be true that he just basically didn't want to go up there, but I think it is true, and I think the astronauts know that it's true at this point.
And they were only supposed to be up there for a brief amount of time. They've just been stuck up there this entire time. That is outrageous.
That is outrageous. So we'll see what else comes of that event. We have Brian Kilmeade coming up to react to a lot of the news today. But it has been another one of those days on Capitol Hill, and we'll get all kinds of reaction as we move forward throughout the afternoon. Let me kind of set the table here. First of all, I want to mention we got our first fish fry tomorrow, so that is very exciting. Come out and see us at Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church. It's in Soulard, 1910 Serbian Drive. Jane will be with us. We got the whole show out there. The roundtable starts at 3 with Jane, State Rep Steve Butts. That might be his district. Is that his district, you know?
Oh, I don't think he goes that far. Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe not,
city.
Because the districts are cut up in different ways. But close. Jean Evans will be on the roundtable tomorrow. She's actually going to join us tonight for some stuff as well. Go ahead, Sue. I'm sorry.
Fred is going to be out of town for two. Are you going to miss two, Fred?
I think so I actually Fred. Took time to look, and I'm only going to miss one.
Oh, good.
On
okay.
the 21st.
All right. Wait, so, really?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know,
I'm
happy about it.
All right. Well, I'm happy about it, too. Actually, I was going to save this for 4, but let's do something now just because I was very worried about Fred. First of all, Fred is very stressed right now, and I'm extremely worried about you.
No,
I am telling you.
No, we can tell.
I know
that
you are. And I'm trying, like, there's times where, look, I am a pain in the ass to deal with, but I'm trying to, like, relieve the stress of Fred because I feel like, and a lot of this is because he's traveling and he's got a lot of responsibilities on Camo X. And I personally, here's my advice for that side, okay? Don't worry about Camo X.
Totally.
Who cares about that? Worry about this show, Fred. You don't have to worry about anything else. We want you to enjoy your vacation. But Sue and I were also very concerned about your gear for the coming trip to Japan. So you got to open that box up there.
Okay, Sue just handed me
a box.
Now, this is from Mark.
Folded box.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Let's call it a group. It's a group gift.
Thank you.
How about that? Oh, my gosh. It's the good one. Fred.
It's a talent purchased North Face
rain jacket.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Now, wait.
Thank you so much.
I bought, here's what I did because I wasn't sure. I bought two sizes.
Yeah.
So what size? That's a large.
We had a discussion.
I have XL
this.
As well because I wasn't sure.
You know, I've tried on several and I'm running between sizes.
Well, try it on. I have the other one too.
Put that one on, Fred.
Great.
I went with green though.
I think that's a nice choice.
I thought that was a Fred color for sure.
You know, I was headed out to buy one tonight. So good timing.
Perfect
nice
timing.
Work.
Well, I swung by the Alpine shop in Kirkwood. I love the Alpine shop. And I was telling you this story. This is actually a true story. And maybe I said this the other day. We were talking about the rain jacket. Fred was stressed. Marie wants him to get a rain jacket for the trip to Japan. And I was making the case that a good one is probably worth the money, right?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Fred made the crack. Well, that's a talent budget, not a producer budget. But I was in the Alpine shop in Columbia, Missouri. And I think they still may have a location there. And it was a rainy football Saturday. And we're in there and I need a poncho. And really all I'm looking for is a poncho. And my wife's like, well, buy this really nice Patagonia. And it was $90. And I'm like, why do I need a rain jacket that's that expensive? But I bought it and I think I still have it to this day. So is that
I think it looks good. We can try the other one. It's because I don't want it to be too baggy.
Wait, is that thing, is it not a full zip? Is it just
it's full zip.
Okay, because it looked like you had put it on. You can put it on, like you can unzip it all the way.
Yeah, but he was in the
interest. I'm so used to quarter zip
I think you were doing the quarter zip thing.
Oh,
yeah, it'll come all the way.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to say the large is what you want to go with. That's the size. The,
Okay, great.
That's good. It
and
looks
then I'll
good.
Just watch my weight.
I just want to side.
Well, if you want to try the other one on, you're fine. But I think that one looks good, doesn't it, Sue?
Yeah, I don't. You don't want it to be too baggy because when it's windy and wet, you want to be nice and cozy.
Well, that's great.
See,
thank
I saved,
you, thank
I saved you,
so much. You
a trip for tonight.
That, this really, is great. Mark, that really looks good.
I like the green.
Fred, congrats. Yeah. It's a good color for him. Oh, I'm so impressed.
Did you actually pick this out yourself?
I did.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, you got to realize that I'm the guy that buys my daughter the majority of clothes. I've purchased a lot of clothes for my wife. I do have this, you know, it's funny. I met someone the other night. Man, where the hell were we? And I was meeting some listeners. And I remember this. This was at Padel and Pickle. In Olivet, and I was playing with my friend Jeff Drew the other day, and there was a dude that was there who had met me before, and he said, "What was the? I got to think about the context here."
Wait, I'm going to take a picture of Fred while you ponder. I'll put it on the X.
Now, and while you're just thinking, I guess it's my job to make sure that we don't go to dead air. So,
here's my deal right now. I'm just telling, I'm trying to remember what this guy said to me the other day because he had met us before, and now my brain is completely cramping out. So I have no idea.
All right,
this
well, something about style or something about ability to pick out clothes.
Thank God,
thank
Ethan.
You,
I'm
Ethan.
Telling you,
it's what I do, guys.
There's so many times where the brain just malfunctions. Yeah, this guy goes, "Oh, and I used to work at Nordstrom." And so what Sue, you probably can relate to this. When I did Channel 4 for, I don't know, maybe 15 years on Friday mornings at 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So I did movie reviews over there for Great Day St. Louis with Kent and Laura. And there was a period when they first started that show that I hosted it a little bit just as a fill-in host. And I was part of them. They paid me so well. It was unbelievable over the years. The amount, no, I never got paid a dime. But that's okay. I did it because I wanted to do it. But I would go, Fred, you might not even remember. I'd get off. I wouldn't want to necessarily after that go all the way back to my home. So Fridays would be my shopping day, Sue. And I would go to the Galleria and I'd go to Nordstrom. But I bring it up because if I had... This is the lesson I need to teach my children. I have one that's turning 25 tomorrow, and my little one's turning 10 on Saturday. If I had all the money that I spent just on Fridays at Nordstrom, you could take all the other days out of the week. If you just go to Fridays at Nordstrom between like 10 a.m. and 12:30 in the period of 2008 to 2020.
How much?
I'm just saying, if I had that, I would be retired right now.
I understand. Right? Wow,
I would have even bought Fred the higher priced Patagonia North Face jacket if I had all that money from when I bought clothes. So I really do have some regrets. But then again, I was buying stuff to be on television, so I guess I was justifying it that way.
Boy, speaking of Nordstrom, my son Noah sent me a quarter zip sweater that he bought in D.C. at a Nordstrom rack. Is that like...
No, that's like...
An
it's like an outlet, but it's still good.
But it's cheaper. Really nice, but it's still expensive.
No, well, look, okay, the truth of the story is that I was just telling is I would always go... Because Nordstrom Rack is actually just down from Nordstrom in Brentwood. It's on the other side of 6440. So you'd always kind of start with Nordstrom Rack, and you'd see if you can get deals there, and then you'd go back into to
You're
Nordstrom.
You're hardcore if you know that.
I'm telling you, you know, here's the problem. You know who's got this bug in my family?
Oh, no. Alexa.
Yeah. She's a shopper.
Oh,
and
boy.
Not in a real... I'm like, I'm worried. She's getting that from me. You can't have, like, my wife is not a shopper, right? You can't have two shoppers.
No, you can't.
No, you have one shopper.
And you gotta... You're still in control, Dad. You should be at this point.
You would think. You should come over to my house and assess that between the two ladies in the household.
Listen, I don't know all the facts here, but what I do know is that, you know, you still own that Blues hat that she got you for Christmas, even though you've never worn it.
I never wore it either. Hey, you guys are going to see her tomorrow, and if you come out to the fish fry, because it is her birthday on Saturday, Alexa Reardon, and she's going to be hanging with friends. Becky's going to swing them by at the fish fry tomorrow, and we may even sing a little happy birthday. So it's Holy Trinity Serbian Orthodox Church in Soulard. We got the whole gang out there tomorrow. Ethan, you'll be there tomorrow or not?
No, I will be in studio, but I will be there for the one that Fred is not.
We do not have the whole gang out there tomorrow, as I was saying. So I'm bummed about that, but I also recognize that the host needs someone here that knows what the hell they're doing, which is an important thing.
Which is more than us sometimes.
Well, certainly.
No doubt about it. So, I got a couple of things that I wanted to do here at the start. We have Kilmeade coming up. The Democrats today were embarrassing themselves even more. I don't know how many people saw this, but Fred, this was all like right around 9 o'clock this morning when they were doing the censure for Al Green, right? Not the singer, but the 77-year-old congressman from
Texas.
Houston, who went up there the other night during the speech and started waving his cane and stuff like that. And then he's escorted, and, you know, it's a big deal. And that's what everyone wants to talk about on the next day. They don't want to talk about the Republicans or Trump and all the things that, you know, 80% of the country agrees with. They want to talk about this guy. So today they decided, now this is like one of those formal things where they slap him on the wrist.
The resolution is adopted. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The House will come to order. The House will come to order. Shh. Will Representative Green present himself to the well? By its adoption of House Resolution 189, the House has resolved that Representative Al Green be censured. That Representative Al Green forthwith present himself in the well of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure.
Well, this is just Johnson reading all this, and the Democrats are kind of gathering around.
Reading of this resolution by the Speaker.
And they start to sing, Sue.
I just can't.
They're singing. They're singing, "We Shall Overcome."
What are you overcoming?
Okay, that's my question. What in God's name are you overcoming right now? Are you overcoming the fact that 80% of the country does not agree with you on the issue of trans women playing against trans men? What, I get so confused. I don't even know how to refer to these people anymore. I really don't. Now, there's a couple of things on that front. I thought this was interesting. And I just came across this online. So I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. I don't watch the late night shows. Interestingly enough, I used to. I used to really enjoy watching the monologues and seeing some of the interactions. But I can't take it anymore. And here's, you know, the big blubbering idiot Jimmy Kimmel. I don't know if he cried last night, but he usually does cry. But let me just offer a little bit of what he talked about, and then we'll recap and we'll set the record straight. Because here's Jimmy.
$8 million for making mice transgender. This is real.
No, it's not.
But it is.
But except for
but
it is.
But exactly it is. But listen how, you know, condescending and indignant Jimmy Kimmel is. And then I'll tell you that it's real.
You know, you hear the president of the United States say we're spending $8 million to do sex change operations on mice. You say, well, I'm sure he's exaggerating, but there must be something there. Turns out there's not. It's not real. The government spent money on transgenic mice, which are genetically modified mice they use in lab tests to study disease. It has nothing to do with being transgender other than the word, the trans part of the word. You think they know this and just ignore it, or are they so dumb they don't know how to Google? Or maybe they think we're so dumb we don't know how to Google.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
They're turning Mickeys into Minis and Minis into Mickeys.
All right, so I took the challenge from Mr. Kimmel.
Good.
I thought, well, let's just Google that. And you know what the first thing is that came up? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that for certain that our tax dollars went for this, but I'm pretty sure that they did. But outside of that, you just tell me what this is about. So here is from the University of Michigan. This took no time at all to discover. Mouse model of gender-affirming testosterone treatment and fertility finds decrease in egg yield, but not quality. Evidence can help inform fertility care for transgender and gender-diverse people who wish to become parents. And the story says this from the University of Michigan. Although transgender and gender diverse young adults demonstrate a high interest in parenting, less than 20% of transgender and non-binary individuals are parents. I wonder why that is. Transgender and gender diverse people who wish to become parents face barriers. Blah, 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 blah. So they go into this and they talk about a little bit of the science here. I'm going to kind of, you know, gloss over this. But they say this. Look, to remedy all this, and they mention one of the doctors here, Dr. Moravec, led a University of Michigan team with Ariella Shinkanov and Vasantha, I can't pronounce this name even if I tried, they're all PhDs, to investigate how gender-affirming testosterone treatment affected IVF outcomes using a mouse model. So who's telling the truth here? This is pretty. Researchers divided genetically identical female mice into four treatment groups: control implant, testosterone implant, control implant washout, testosterone implant washout. So, of course, they do these things on mice and rats all the time, right? I'm sure there's a lab full of dead mice at WashU right now. But the fact of the matter is the person who lied is Jimmy Kimmel and goes on there. But people believe this. I was talking to a friend of mine today who was actually expressing a little frustration about their own spouse because now I'm lucky because my wife has actually become more interested in Fox. I've indicated this, but this was someone whose wife gets information from the Today Show and NPR. And there's your warning sign right there, because you're not going to get. And for those people out there, I'm guessing there's not a lot of people out there that are on the hard left listening to this show. But if you have friends, for those of us on the right, don't tell them when you talk about media bias. It's really easy, actually. They don't have to believe me. They don't have to believe you. Send them, just Google. Here's something Jimmy Kimmel likes to talk about, Googling things. Google Yuri Berliner, NPR, and read what he had to say a year ago about the bias in NPR and how it's disgusting and it's not journalism. So there's lots of people in this country that have TDS that are gaslit by the legacy media. And the legacy media includes guys like Jimmy Kimmel, because he lies all the time as well, and then he blubbers like a baby. All right, we're off and running here. We got Kilmeade coming up next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Almased, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, outside of the roundtable tomorrow, we will have all our regular Friday stuff, including Paul Hall on some movie and streaming entertainment recommendations. We'll have Cusimano on sports. We're going to try to get Frank to come by one of these in person as well. And then we hung out with our friend Alex Rich from Y98 yesterday. He's going to maybe even bring his guitar, Sue, tomorrow afternoon. Andrew Bailey, the AG of Missouri. I love this. I saw Andrew a couple of weeks ago. I did not know about this, but he's asked the Department of Justice to investigate whether White House staff exploited Joe Biden's cognitive decline in its final days. This is very interesting, and it's a curious strategy. We'll find out a little bit more about it when he joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. Michelle Tafoya will be here with us this afternoon talking about not only some of the things related to the speech the other night, but the women's sports issue, which is interesting just because all of the Democrats voted against that. There's been a lot of discussion about that the last couple of days. And then Gene Evans, who is a political consultant for Go Consulting, former executive director of the state GOP and state rep, is going to join us on some education stuff in just a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour, plus an audio cut of the day. So I mentioned, if I can get my mouse to work here properly, not the type of mouse that was doing the gender-affirming care, this type here that we're using. The Democrats, when Al Green was censured, they surrounded him, and they broke into song, into We Shall Overcome. It was actually very, very baffling. Brian Kilmeade is with us this afternoon to talk about that and more. Brian, how are you?
Just such an embarrassment, such an embarrassment. This clown, this total idiot, who is probably, they say, one of the dumbest people in Washington, stands up screaming. I'm not sure if anyone put him up to it or not, because no one seemed surprised. No one even looked at him. on the left because I was in the building. I was in the upper chamber right by the center camera. And I'm watching him scream. I don't know what he's saying, but they got to stop the speech. And then he gets censured, of course. 10 to 12 votes from Democrats. Some just sat it out. And then while he's being censured, they're singing, "We Shall Overcome." Overcome what?
I know. That's what I said. What are they going to overcome? That was my big mystery this morning. I'm very confused by it. But, yeah, of course he did it on purpose. And he's proud that he did it. It's interesting because you have, on the one hand, some people who are Democrats out there saying, look, you're making fools out of yourself. What are you doing? And then others that are doubling down saying, well, they should have all left the chamber the other night.
Yeah. Good. Always. Just show how clueless you are. Remember, all Washington thought Trump was going to lose. They thought he was never going to be even allowed back in the city again. And he's not going to win the battleground. He's not going to win the primary. We're going to sue him. We're going to try to jail him. All that stuff. Now, Trump, I never said Trump's playing the perfect game, but he was so perfect. He got angrier and more confrontational every time they came at him. And then think about what they must be thinking as he walks in for year five after 4 years. And they must be, we're not going to escort him in with children. Democrats should be escorting him in. Next thing they're going to do, we're going to interrupt. We're going to hold up signs. We're going to hold up eraser boards. We're not going to cheer for kids who overcome cancer or widows who lose their husbands as a member of the police force like Stephanie Diller. We're not going to cheer a fifth-generation warfighter who just got into West Point thanks to the signature of Donald Trump, who just lost his dad. We're not going to sing Fogel when Fogel, the teacher, gets out of a Russian prison. We're not going to cheer him that he's now free. We're just going to sit there, and we're going to have 17 boycott and 14 walk out. Congratulations. You tell me where the momentum is.
It's really quite stunning. And I was confused on one hand because John Fetterman, I've seen him kind of call out his party, and he's been critical about their behavior. But he's also the guy, every member of the Senate, all the Democrats, would not vote for the Protecting Women's Sports. That's just baffling to me. I don't get why Fetterman in and of himself wouldn't cross over on that one.
Yeah, I don't know what happened either. It doesn't make any sense because I didn't even hear any opposition. I was talking to people say, is there something about that bill that, you know, that they put in the debt ceiling or something?
Right.
How they slip things in? And everyone goes, no. I go, so I asked the speaker, I said, what did you put in it? Or like when you left the House for the Senate, is there anything in there? He goes, no, it was flat out voting for not to allow trans men in women's sports. That is all.
And now you have this is so fascinating, Brian. I talked about it here in the monologue. Gavin Newsom.
Would you say no men in female sports?
Well, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. It is an issue of fairness.
So
it's deeply unfair.
Would you
revere sports? And so the issue of fairness is completely legit.
Wow. You think he's running for president or something?
Absolutely. And he's going to try to go to the so he is going to just be with he's going to have to interview conservatives. And he asked questions in this. And I'm going to put it in One Nation on Sunday. One of the questions is, what do you think we should do? Asked Charlie Kirk. What do you think we should do with, to win back people? What are we doing wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very shocked by him getting this into it, you know, right as the Trump administration is starting. That does indicate that there's desperation there to run for president. But I can't believe that he flipped on the trans issue that quickly with a conservative podcaster.
Maybe. Or maybe he didn't even think it through. He doesn't realize exactly what he said. That he's going to walk back when he gets in front of a woke crowd again. So we'll see how much publicity this gets. I mean, we're definitely going to talk about it. But the guy has a city that's really burned to the ground. It's amazing to me he chooses this moment to launch a podcast, and he's sitting there in a casual shirt just shooting the breeze. Yeah. It's not even like the sense of urgency. I got to go back to help the people. No, what are you doing? What are you doing? How are you? Good to see you. So how's it going? Good. Really? That's what you're doing? That's how hard you're working to make sure people can build their houses again?
Yeah, he's slick. To your point, I wouldn't be surprised if he walks that back. What did you think about the Sanctuary City Mayor's hearing yesterday? Because obviously, and I played a little of this in the open too. Tom Homan was on with Laura last night, and he was just on fire reacting to this Boston mayor and some of this other nonsense. Jim Jordan beat the mayor of Denver up pretty good yesterday. Again, these big town mayors, including Brandon Johnson in Chicago, Brian, they just don't get it.
I could, and they, all they did is pay a lot of money to get out of this and not be the Ivy League presidents of this year. And what I think people found out, they are so embarrassed by their own policies. They know it's not popular, but they're going to continue to implement them or not implement any cooperation with ICE. Here's some video of a prisoner getting out of jail and running because he knows you're there, and took 12 guys, and one guy got assaulted before they got this Venezuelan gangbanger. Well, what would have happened if you just handed them over, let them cuff them in prison? Well, I don't know. You know exactly what.
Of course.
So they were just looking to filibuster.
It was ridiculous. It really is. And, you know, I just wonder, one of the things that's happening, and we go back to what happened on Tuesday night. Look, the pundits yesterday morning told me how crazy Trump was and all this, and the speech was too long and all that stuff. The Democrats said the same thing. But what's interesting is the actual people who watched the damn speech seemed to like it pretty much, didn't they, Brian?
And I think it's because he was very familiar with the copy. He moved right through, and he had a lot of exhibits. And he even told me, I saw the president yesterday, and he said, even Britt Hume thought I had a great speech. And that's pretty true, but Britt also said it was partisan. But he said it was a really good speech. It was Trump at his top. This is top of his game. Which, remember the conversation we were having a year ago? As Trump, they tried to make it seem like Trump was missing a step, that it wasn't just Biden.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good luck with that. By the way, the one thing that I am uncomfortable with, I had a great conversation with my friend Joe Wormington. He's a columnist for the Toronto Sun. This is a guy, Brian, that is very pro-Trump. And he keeps Pierre Trudeau in check up there in Canada. But he was very sad. He's actually sad about the tariffs and troubled by them. He's worried about impacts in Canada. He doesn't understand what President Trump is doing. Now, there's been a little bit of a pause on some of this right now. Is this just Trump trying to get the best negotiation? Because there are economic impacts here for Canadians and Americans that might not be too comfortable in the coming months.
I know. I don't get it. We have different stories. 1 minute is for fentanyl. The next minute is for trade balance. The next minute is for manufacturing. Next minute, it's rescinded. So I have no idea what they're doing, but he's got a great economic team around him that doesn't have any problem defending it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You're right. They're defending it, but I don't know if they know where this is going to take them, and I don't really get what the point is at this point. I get what he's trying to do as far as campaign promises and make sure that things are equal, but with some of the numbers that he's talking about, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work out in his behalf. And maybe some of this is at play with Ukraine right now as well, because we see some invigoration to some new discussions between officials.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you about the tariffs. I know the market hates them, but that shouldn't really steer. If you really believe it, go do it, but stick with it. Mexico's done so much. Take the win. If it's really about fentanyl, I mean, they're handing over arrested cartel members who were jailed, giving them to us. They arrested about 400 cartel members over the weekend. New York Times wrote about it. The border's showing to a trickle. So if it's still coming across, let me know. But well, I know that China, we should really go on China. That's where the precursors are.
One thing, you mentioned the border. One thing we've learned here in the last week in particular is this claim from the Democrats that, the bipartisan comprehensive bill that they wanted to pass that they claimed that Trump killed. That was the only way to control the border, Brian. Remember that? Couldn't do it. Except we just did it in the last 2 months.
Yeah, right away. And he said it wasn't a new policy. You just needed a new president. He's 100% right. And now you got another 1,000. I had Pete on television yesterday, Pete Hegseth, and the Defense Department sending another 1,000 down there. And I said, is that because you guys are going to start taking out cartel members like they're ISIS? And he said, nothing's off the table.
Yeah, well,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
staging
this
for on southern border to take out, the Sinaloa cartel. Wow, that would be different. And maybe with a wink and a nod, Claudia Sheinbaum saying, do it because we want to get our country back.
Brian Kilmeade is back with us. In fact, he's coming to St. Louis 2 weeks from Saturday. We're getting real close here, Brian, to this event at the factory. There are a few tickets available. Also some VIP experiences, and you can get those at briankilmeade.com. Anything else you want to say about the show?
Yeah, I mean, Saturday night is going to be great. Every show is different. We're going to be streaming on Fox Nation, it looks like. We're going to weave in Mark Reardon. We know that for sure. We're going to have 6 or 7 different skits where we bring in a live stage setting, history to life. And it's just going to be patriotic, inspirational, motivational. And people love it. Just put it this way. You will appreciate how hard we've worked on this for the last 3 years. Everyone in the audience is like, wow, how long did this take? It's like we went from me moving through some PowerPoints to now we have thorough skits, very tapes, and we have stand-up comedian open up for 15 minutes. He's phenomenal. T-shirt guns. Now we got everything you need. Everything you need for a successful show.
T-shirt guns. You should have led with that. My goodness, everyone loves their T-shirts. What's coming up? You mentioned a little bit. What's coming up on the show Sunday night?
The University of Austin in Texas, that Barry Weiss, Neil Ferguson, Joe Lonsdale experiment, where you, the kids learn the classics to get everything paid for free, and they have all opinions are welcome. It is an elite college that's emerged. They finally have their first class. We did a feature with them. We also have the co-host quiz featuring Jimmy Failla and the great Kennedy, and we're going to also Mike Lawler is going to lead us off to bring us through, and Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. So it's going to be a big show.
I love Senator Kennedy. You had me at Senator Kennedy, Brian. Have a great weekend, a great week. We'll talk next week.
Go get him, Mark.
You know who is blowing up and getting a lot of attention here this week is our guy DJ Daniel. Remember him from the speech the other night? 13-year-old cancer survivor.
Yeah, remember him.
He was one of the great stories that was talked about during the speech by President Trump. And the Democrats couldn't even stand and clap for a cancer survivor. And worse than that, I mean, I played this yesterday, but this really, when you think about it, is despicable on the part of Nicole Wallace. I mean, despicable when she said this about this little kid. And I heard some people talking about this last night. MSNBC is firing people. They should fire her for saying this.
I hope he has a long life as a law enforcement officer, but I hope he never has to defend the United States Capitol against Donald Trump supporters. And if he does, I hope he isn't one of the six who loses his life to suicide.
Who does that?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, who does that? About a brain cancer survivor who's 13 years old. This is what these people are all about. It's unbelievable. You know, I was thinking about this, and I've shared some of the stories. I even heard Mark, you know, on the promo, he's talking about how we just saw him. Mark was nice enough to pop in on us.
He went over to the
Missouri Valley Conference tournament. But, you know, used to have politics or discussions with people that you would be able to get along with afterwards, but that seemingly is not the case anymore. But let me just say this, because as I chronicle these things, I've talked about, I've got a friend of 45 years that basically is not talking with me anymore. I've had someone else that's happened to professionally here, even in this building, and a couple instances like that as well. And I know other people that have had these same situations. But you know, there's one consistent aspect of that every single time. You know what that is? It's pretty easy. It's never our side that doesn't want to talk to someone.
Oh, you know,
it's not
right.
Our side that is unfriending people. It's not our side. Look, we think you're kind of silly if you believe in all this nonsense, and if you think that boys should play against girls, we're revolted by that. But you know what? We can still have conversations with you. I've not unfriended one person over my entire career, but I've had a couple of people, and my favorite story is when I'm at the Haven in South St. Louis, and a dear friend of mine introduces me to a woman, and she comes over, and he says my name, and she literally turns around and walks away. It was one of the most rudest things I've ever seen in my life. But again, that's always, they're the compassionate ones.
Yeah.
The
left,
they're the caring ones. It's your side, Democrats. If you're not comfortable with that, if you're in the middle, if you're a sane Democrat, that's what's happening. It's your side. My wife has got and I think this is just rude. You tell me, Sue. My wife's got a text string with a bunch of girls from Milwaukee, and some of them are all over the country, one in D.C., one in Texas. And there's probably, I think, 8 or 9 girls on this text string. Three of them are not crazy lefties. But the rest of them are, and they feel like it's okay on the text string, even though they know their friends are not on the same side of politics, to just be blasting Trump and doing all this stuff.
It's just not appropriate.
Hey, take it to the side. You want to do that with your little, you know, communist cabal? Go for it. But why are you involving all other friends? Well, they do it on purpose, right?
Oh, yeah.
They want you to feel uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's unbelievable. But let me go back. I got to go back to DJ Daniel here, because this kid is breaking out. So I guess Steve Bannon has some sort of show, and there's a co-host named Natalie Winters that was interviewing DJ Daniel, and DJ Daniel is not very happy that people are being mean to President Trump.
Our last thing, because we know you got to bounce, what would your one piece of advice for the Secret Service be?
Please stop being mean to President Trump, because if I see you being mean to him, I'm coming after you.
I love that. I think you need to become the director of the Secret Service. DJ, it is such an honor to have met you.
Hold up, I got one more thing to say.
He has one more thing to say.
Uh-oh,
I won't interrupt you.
If you're a Democrat and you're being mean to President Trump, I'm on your bumper.
Yeah. Do you know what that means?
watching you?
I had to look it up. It's a little bit more complicated
than
that.
Oh, is it?
According, Sue, to the Urban Dictionary, the phrase on your bumper describes someone aggressively pursuing someone for either confrontation or debts owed. So DJ Daniel is on your bumper. Then there's this. I like this one, too. This kid, he's going to be a star this week. He already is.
Yeah, you think your friends are going to be jealous?
Pretty much. And I'm pretty sure my girlfriend going to be jealous. Cause she ain't gonna be. I say you can't. I'm gonna be like you. I'm gonna be like you. Gonna have to hit the road, Jax, because I'm a Secret Service now. I'm not. And if you touch me, you going to juvenile straight. And I ain't gotta ask your parents for nothing. I'm sending you straight to jail.
You know, DJ. When you get older, you'll learn that women have an interesting way of dealing with those situations. A lesson for another time, young man. It was good talking to you. Thank you.
Yeah, DJ's getting pretty aggressive there. He's sending his classmates to juvie. I don't know if the girlfriend wants to go to juvie, but that's quite something. I believe he was just having fun there.
I hope so.
And he's really enjoying the moment. Now, let me just do one more thing here before we wrap up the hour. Because remember at the beginning of the monologue, we were talking about the astronauts that are stranded up there?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching this on Fox this morning, and this is being billed as something where Joe Biden kind of left them up there. And I thought, oh, you know what? That's just politics, right? That could not have been the case. And then the astronaut gets, you know, asked a question.
My question relates to Elon Musk has said that he made the offer to bring you guys back earlier and that it was denied. My first question is that true? And if so, what would that have looked like? Was he offering to make another flight, push seats on another flight? Could you give us some background there?
I can only say that Mr. Musk, what he says is absolutely factual. Cool. We have no information on that, though, whatsoever. What was offered, what was not offered, who it was offered to, how that process has went. That's information that we simply don't have. So I believe him. I don't know all those details, and I don't think any of us really can give you the answer that maybe that you would be hoping for.
Well, but the answer that we were kind of looking for there is, that's what happened.
Exactly,
the offer
what
was
happened.
Made, and why didn't we get a chance to do that? Because of politics? Is that what we're hearing
yes,
there?
Yes, that's what Musk said.
How about giving that story a little coverage, right? That seems rather important. They're stuck there for 9 months. We're coming back. Sue's News in the 4 o'clock hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.